welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Amen. Thank you, Gina. Pastor Trent, thank you so much. Well, we're in Exodus. Go ahead and turn to Exodus 33. We're going to be there in a second. 33 and 34, actually. We're going to be looking kind of in the same area that we were last week in the book. And as you can hopefully have noticed already, we're looking at the majesty and the greatness and the glory of God today. So that's the theme, the majesty, the awesomeness of God. There's so many words that we could use to describe it, and yet still not do it justice. Exodus, I'm going to read two passages here, one in chapter 33 and one in chapter 34. And I want you to try to find the similarity between the two passages, okay? There's one major similarity, and I want you to look for it. Kiddos, help mom and dad out, okay? They need it. So whisper whenever you see it. Whisper it into mom or dad's ear, and we're going to figure out what the similarity is between the two passages. Okay, are you ready? We're going to start with Exodus 33, and it's going to be verses 18 through verse 23. So Moses is up on the mountain, meeting with God, and this is what happens in verse 18. Moses said, "Please, show me your glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before your name, before you, my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft on the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back. But my face shall not be seen." There's the first passage about God's glory. Now let's go to Exodus 34, towards the end of it, verse 39, or 29, I'm sorry, to 35. Chapter 34, verses 29 through 35, this is what the word says. "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterwards, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and he told the people of Israel what he was commanded from God, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with God." Do you see a similarity between the two? What was it? The veil? The covering? So with Moses, he was put behind a cleft because he could not see the glory of God. God said, "I will put you behind this little crevice in the rock so you can't see my full glory. And I'll even put my hand there." It's like, just really making sure you won't see it. And then whenever I do walk by, I'll let you see my back. The glory of God was veiled, covered up by God's hand and the rock, the cleft. And then when Moses steps down, same thing happens with Israel in a different way. They see the glory of God shining from Moses' face, and what needs to take place because they were afraid? It needed to be veiled, the glory of God. And I don't know which you can relate to today. I think we can all relate to one or the other. Moses or the Israelites. Are you like Moses where you want to see God more? Moses was saying, God, show me your glory. Would I please just see it? And maybe you're like Moses. You want to see the glory of God. You want to see God's majesty everywhere. Or are you more like Israel and you don't want to see? And you'd rather it be veiled. And it could be because, like Israel, you're scared. You feel unworthy. You know, they just sinned with the golden calf recently, and they were scared of God's glory and his holiness because they were unworthy. And so it says they were afraid, and they needed that to be covered up so they wouldn't be so scared in their unworthiness. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's why you don't want to see God's greatness in your life, because it makes you feel something about yourself. It makes you scared. I think about whenever I kind of like pride myself in, I think I have a way with just like, you know, talking with kids and making them feel comfortable, and at least Sarah says I do, and I believe her. But there are a handful of kids where I just can't break through that barrier. And one of them, it's always drove me crazy, and I think I'm doing okay. I'm getting better with her. It's Miss Raya Beth. Tell you what. She joined the club, yeah. So I have tried so hard to get a high five from that girl. And every time she's hiding behind Josh or hiding behind Kara or grandma or grandpa, and I'm just like, come on, high five, you know, like up top. And I've gotten a few high fives, by the way. It's taken a year, but we're making progress, and I count that as a win. But so maybe that's a small image of you. You want to hide behind because you're scared of, you're intimidated by this figure, God. Maybe it's not that. You're not scared, feel unworthy. Maybe you just don't want to see it. You don't care. You're indifferent. Or you're just blatantly opposed. You just don't want to look and see God and his greatness. Whichever you are, like Israelites not want to see God in their life, their glory of God, or you're like Moses and you say, God, I want more. I want to see it. Show me. Wherever you're at, this is my goal for today as we just unpack these two stories. Firstly, my goal is that you would know this, that through Christ, you don't need to be scared. If you are the individual scared because you feel unworthy, through Christ, the scriptures say, you can approach the throne of God, not with fear, with confidence. You can stride up to the throne of God through Christ. See, know this, you don't have to be scared of God's glory and God's greatness, but you can approach God through Christ. Secondly, though, and most importantly, I want for everyone here to see the greatness of God in your life. I really do. Like, I'm looking at each one of them, I'm looking you in your faces, and I want you to know and see, recognize, and marvel at the glory of God everywhere. I think we have an opportunity to see God's greatness more than Moses could. It's a bold statement, and I'm going to get there. How could I make such a bold statement? I think you can see God and his glory and his greatness greater than Moses even could, or Israel. I want you to. I want you to. Yes, in creation, the song we just sung about is his glory is hidden in creation. So yes, I want you to see the glory of God in creation. I want you to see the glory of God in your conscience and an internal recognition of God working. I want you to see God's greatness in the work of other people. I want you to see God everywhere. I really do. Most importantly, though, I want you to see God's just awesomeness through the person of Jesus revealed in Scripture. I think that is the greatest revelation of how awesome our God is when Jesus comes on the scene. He is the glory of God personified. So I hope you would see that today, realize that. And if there's a veil over your eyes or you're hidden behind the cleft, so to speak, my prayer and my hope for you, just putting my cards on the table, I hope that you would step out from behind the cleft. I hope the veil would be removed and you would see in all his glory the majesty of God. That's my goal. It's a big goal, but only through the Holy Spirit working through his word can that happen, and I believe it will happen and can happen today for you. So let's get to work. Let's look at scripture. There's a few things I want us to look at. There's a couple practical life lessons that I think we can just learn from just looking at these, okay? Practical, as Christians, how do we live? How do we live? And I think this actually teaches us a few practical life lessons. Can I point out a few of those? Firstly, these passages, they teach us about humility. Humility, that's the first one. There's going to be two of them. Firstly is humility. Everyone, if you notice in the stories, Moses, Israel, the whole bunch, needed some sort of veil for God's glory. Israel, seems pretty obvious, right? They just sinned with his golden calf, an atrocious sin. And so they needed the veil, they needed God's glory to be veiled from them. But what about holy Moses? Moses was up on the mountain communing with God. And yet still God said, Moses, you too. You need a veil. I'm going to cover you with my hand. And so I think the first thing that we can learn here is, guys, can I speak to spirit? If you might see yourself as a spiritual giant, can I speak to you? This teaches you humility. Because Moses, if there is a spiritual giant, it's Moses. And so if you think highly of yourself, you think you're a good Christian, let me just level the playing field real quick and just say, this passage teaches you and Moses a little bit of humility. A little bit of humility. So here's the humility lesson for Christians. Let me say this. No matter how good you might think that you are, the glory of God humbles the holiest of saints. It's true. And so may you be humbled today. By the word of God, may we all be humbled, because God is so great that even the holiest of us would cower back to the holiness and greatness of God. That's how great God is. It teaches humility. And it also teaches humility, and I think Moses kind of exemplifies or demonstrates humility. Let me explain how. If you noticed in the second passage in chapter 34, Moses steps down from the mountain. And if you notice in verse 29, the first verse we read there in chapter 34, what's it say? Moses didn't realize. His face was shining and he had no idea. The people, they saw it, and that was a huge deal. The people were terrified. It said the people were scared, they were intimidated, they were worried, because this holy figure, Moses, was radiating the goodness of God in his life. Moses, though, he didn't even realize. It didn't dawn on him. Look how great Moses is. So if you truly are a spiritual giant, if you'd like to try and equating yourself to the person of Moses, would we not realize when God's glory is radiating from our face? Because Moses had no idea. He didn't realize it. They had to point it out to him. Moses just approached them like a normal person, just like one of them. Like he just came up and he just started talking, it said in verse 30. It said Moses just came up and he just started talking with the people of God. And they were like, whoa, Moses, the glory. And he's like, what? And I think that can teach us a lot about how we should be as Christians, right? You see what I'm saying here? You know where I'm getting at? We as Christians can learn from this humility to approach people on a level playing field as just another person and say, hey, let me tell you what I just heard from God. And may they realize the light of God shining from you, and may it not even dawn on you. I think Moses teaches us a little bit of humility here. May the people of God notice. May the people notice the holiness in our lives. Other people, would they notice the holiness in our lives? But may we never get puffed up because we see that holiness and the difference between us and them. Moses didn't. The second life practical application that this teaches is, one, humility, but then two, it teaches us about evangelism. You're like, okay, what in the world are you talking about? I think this kind of teaches us a little bit about evangelism. Moses went down, he interacted with the people, clearly needing Jesus, okay, knowing what they just did 2 chapters ago. They needed Jesus, he comes down, he starts interacting with them, and I think Moses here doesn't show us what we should do, but actually Moses shows us what we should not do. Don't be like Moses in this way. He goes down, and they don't like the glory of God radiating from his face, and so what does he do to make them feel more comfortable? He puts a veil over. So if this teaches us anything about evangelism, it is to what not to do when you're evangelizing. He veiled God's glory in his life so to make other people who felt uncomfortable with the glory of God, make them feel a little bit more comfortable. Actually, God never told Moses to veil his face. If you notice that in the passage in chapter 34, God never said, hey, Moses, hey, make them feel more comfortable. They feel uncomfortable. You're super godly, and they're just, wow, they're overwhelmed by it. Pull it back a little bit. Rein it in. Make them feel a little more like you're more one of them, worldly. No, God never said anything like that, but Moses did it to make them feel more comfortable. I think if anything, God commands the opposite. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, let your light shine before others. Don't veil the light of God in you. Let your light shine before others, as they may see your good works. They see the radiating glory of God. Would they not be amazed by you? But may they see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Moses did the opposite. So this teaches us a little bit about evangelism. Never, hear this, please, Christian, never cover up God in your life to make the world feel more comfortable. Even if it's your spouse, even if it's your best friend, your mom or dad, your child, your best friend, someone you might lose your relationship for if you're letting the light of God shine out of your face, I don't care who it is or what the consequences are, can I boldly tell you from the Word of God, never cover it up so to make them or your relationship feel more comfortable. That's not your mission. Their comfort. That's not your mission. The mission is the glory of God being seen. Let your light shine before men. Okay, a few practical life lessons right there from it. But we shouldn't only get practical tips from Scripture, right? This isn't a self-help church, okay? Let's not just get practical tips. Let's see the gospel in this, all right? Let's see the gospel in this. And I think the gospel is hidden by some symbolism, actually. Let me explain what I mean. There's two symbols in this that I think ultimately show the gospel of Jesus Christ in Exodus 33 and 34, and this is what I want to look at briefly before our time is over. The first symbol that I see in this story, the deep symbolism that reveals the glory of God in the gospel, is God's glory being hidden. I think this is symbolic. God's glory being hidden, both in Moses going behind the rock and hiding, and the veil for Israel. God's glory being hidden, I think, symbolizes men and women who do not see the greatness of God in their lives. God's glory being hidden for Moses, God's glory being hidden for Israel, ultimately, I think, symbolizes God's glory and greatness being not seen in people's lives. Men and women's lives, maybe your life. You'd be just like Moses behind the rock. Be just like Israel, having a veil between you and the radiating glory of God. And I'm not the one that's trying to make this all symbolic. Actually, the New Testament uses that image to describe this reality. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. It says, even if our gospel is veiled, where do we get the image of a veil? Exodus 34. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Someone who doesn't see God's greatness. Verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light. Where do we see light? Moses' face. But it's veiled. And this symbolizes unbelievers. To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so when we go to Exodus 34 and we see the veiling and we see the hiding behind the cleft of the rock and not seeing God's glory, I think this should represent and symbolize for New Testament Christians those in our lives who don't see God's greatness like we see God's greatness. The awesomeness of Jesus is so great. I wish I had more adjectives to use. If you don't see this greatness, the Bible tells you that there's a veil that blinds you. So from Scripture, I think I'd be warranted to say, if you don't know Jesus, you're blinded. You're blinded because it's everywhere. You're blind to the greatness and glory and creative awesomeness of God because it's right there in front of us. As we look at the skies and the trees and the universe, you're blinded. And not only does Scripture say that, but Scripture also says that you would hate the light of God shining out if you saw it. Not only are you blinded by it, but you hate it. John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. You know, in that train of thinking, can I speak to you real quick? If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't call him Lord. Let me speak to you. I'm not taking a jab in the dark. I'm speaking from Scripture. You don't want to see God's greatness and glory, his light shining out, because it exposes the lack of light that you have. His greatness makes your greatness and your sin exposed. And that's bad in your mind. But let me tell you, that's actually not what the gospel says. The gospel says that the exposure of your unworthiness and the light radiating of his greatness is actually what makes the gospel so amazing. The light exposing you actually is what makes the gospel so precious. You're like, me getting found out in my sin, me being seen as unworthy, that's what's so awesome? Probably won't take that up. Thank you, though. Yeah, it actually is. That's what makes the gospel so great, because when our unworthiness is dumped out on the table, our sin, our baggage, it's thrown out there because the light of God has exposed it all. It is amazing when you see the love of God and the grace of God doesn't go anywhere. When all your baggage is thrown out on the table and he says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not whimpering back. I'm not taking a few steps back because I'm shocked by what you are bringing to the table. No, you can dump it all out there. My light exposes it and I'm not going anywhere. The light exposing you is actually what makes the gospel so amazing. Makes it precious that God loves me that much, that knowing everything, he still loves me. There's a girl that Sarah and I grew up with who, in high school with us, she got pregnant, definitely not married, still very young, got pregnant, and she was really scared to go, and obviously people are going to start finding out, right? When physical signs start showing, well, she's pregnant. She went to the pastor of our church, terrified that he was going to ostracize her, terrified that he was going to shame her. And she went to him, and the exact opposite happened. He loved her, and he showed her grace. She was exposed in her sin. The baby's not the sin. Let's just get that on the table, right? But what led up to the baby, right, was sin. Sex outside of marriage. So she exposed that of herself, and she was met with love and grace. First of all, may we as a church be like that, right? May we shine the light of God that way in people's lives. But so much more does God do that. When our sin is exposed, his light exposes it, and he meets us with grace and love. This isn't a bad thing. This shows how amazing the love of God is in the gospel. So, small tangent, but let's back up and see the summary here. The first symbol in Exodus chapter 33 and 34 is the hiding of God's glory, and it symbolizes people that don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. So maybe you are behind the rock. Maybe you have a veil over your face. You are blinded, and you don't want to see the light of God because you're scared it's going to expose you. You don't like it, whatever it is. You're veiled, you're behind the rock, and you hate the goodness and glory of God. Let me tell you, God wants to step around the rock. God wants to lift the veil so that you would see his glory. He wants to shine his light through that veil. And this leads into the second symbol of the story. The second symbol that I think is in these stories in Exodus is the removing of the veil. It's not the veil itself, but now it's the removal of the veil to reveal God's glory. The removing of the veil really shows God being revealed. It's like a curtain for the stage being opened up, and you see the cast standing there. This is the reveal, the uncovering of God's glory in our lives. And of course, the greatest reveal of all time is Jesus coming on the scene. Jesus is the veil being taken off. Jesus is the glory of God in all its majesty being uncovered and seen. If you only read the Old Testament, think about this. For Old Testament people or somebody today who just doesn't get to the person of Jesus and all they know is the Old Testament, you can know God. Of course, you can know God. You can know the character and the nature of God. But you don't know God fully until Jesus comes on the scene and you see God himself personified fully. Then you truly see the person and the character of God in full view. Jesus is the veil being taken off. Jesus is stepping us out from behind the rock and seeing not just the back of God, but his face, the face of God himself. Jesus is the unveiling. There's Jesus in Exodus. Paul uses this exact symbolism. I'm not coming up with it myself. Let me go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think it's 4, is it 3? It's 3. Going crazy. I just read 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you're still in 2 Corinthians, go back one page. Verses 12 through 16, this is what it says. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like who? Moses. Who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but that their minds would be hardened. And it keeps going. For to this day, when we read the Old Testament, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. He's talking about Jews who reject the Old Testament story of Jesus. They only read the Old Testament, and he's saying it's like they have a veil on, because only if you want to remove the veil and fully see God is when you see Jesus. Jesus, through Jesus, is that veil taken away. Verse 15, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Do you see that? I'm not coming up with this symbolism. That's in the New Testament. God's glory, God's greatness, God's majesty, God's awesomeness, God's person, His personality, His nature, His character is all fully revealed when Jesus steps on the scene. Jesus is, according to Colossians, the image of the invisible God, once not seen, now fully seen. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, Hebrews chapter 1 says. So, if you want to meet God, if you are seeking right now, you don't know God, you're like questioning. If you want to meet God, if you want to know God, if you want to see God, look no further than Jesus Christ. So how do we respond to this today? Maybe you're like Moses. You haven't seen God. And maybe you're like Moses, you're even saying, God, can I just see your glory? Can you show me your glory? Maybe you're like Moses in Exodus 33, and you're just like, God, let me see, please. And you're questioning, and you're not so sure about a few things. And you're like, God, could you just reveal yourself to me? Could you present yourself? Give me a sign. Show me you're there. If that's you. If that's you. I want to tell you, He already has. And I promise you, this isn't a cop-out. This isn't a cop-out, and you're saying, no, I want fire down from heaven. Let me tell you, He has already done better than fire from heaven. He didn't just send some other thing. He sent Himself. And so if you want to see God, you want to meet God, and you're like Moses, and you're saying, God, show me yourself, He already has. It's in this book, a testimony, a real historical account of God becoming man. I promise you, if you try to disprove the historical Jesus and His resurrection, you will fail. You cannot disprove it. It happened. So if you want to see God, look in history and look in this Word. He's shown Himself to you most perfectly. His name was Jesus. And I pray that if you are like Moses today, that you would be like Paul. And what I mean by that is if you know the story of the Apostle Paul, first he was Saul, and Jesus showed Himself to Paul. He revealed Himself. And what happened shortly after that, if you know the story? The scales fell off his eyes. So if you're like Moses, man, would you be like Paul today? And what I mean by that is if you're asking to see God, that He would reveal Himself to you, if you're like Moses, would you be like Paul? Would the scales fall off your eyes and you would just see in all of His greatness, both in creation and the internal works of yourself, in the works of other people, and most perfectly in Jesus Christ, in this book, would you be like Paul and the scales fall off and you see everywhere the greatness of God in your life? God exists. He is powerful, He is great, He is loving. Man, He is awesome. He is awesome, and I hope you see that today. That's what I would say, non-Christian, if you, how do you respond? That's how you respond. Man, would your scales fall off your eyes? Christian, if you already know of the greatness of God, you don't need me to tell you what to do. You worship. We marvel. We give Him praise because we know He is great and He is good. Amen? Amen. I would love to pray with you no matter what, where you're at on that spectrum, what you're thinking. I would love to pray with you. I'll be down right here. Please come talk to me. Let's pray. God, I love You so much. We give You praise. We give You honor. We give You, Lord, not because You need it, but because You deserve it. We give You glory. We lift You up. We exalt You. Lord, for the person in this room right now who does not see Your greatness in creation, who does not see Your greatness in their lives, who does not see You in the historical person of Jesus, God, I pray for an incredible miracle that You would take the scales off their eyes, and man, would they be blown away. Oh, would that happen today? Would they see your greatness and love you forevermore because of it? So that's what I pray, Lord, a big prayer, but a prayer that I know you and only you can do. And so it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.